Kevin Kramer, U.S. House member from North Dakota at large. I serve on the Energy and Commerce Committee with subcommittee assignments to energy, environment, and communication technology.
Kevin, even though you are not on the House Ag Committee, I'm sure that you are paying close attention to the developments there. The negotiations have hit a snag recently over the nutrition title between, it's been a partisan divide. Have you heard anything that suggests there's progress on that front?
Well, the only progress I could report that I know of is that it seems to be on schedule for at least dropping the bill next week, probably a committee markup the week after that, and then bringing it to the floor in early May. The reason that I state that as progress, I think that the forcing of the vote may flesh out some of these differences with regard to the nutrition title, particularly the SNAP work requirements that have been so hotly contested by the Democrats on the committee. I think when you're facing the type of cycle that we're facing right now, where we've seen a 52% drop in farm income since 2013, which is a pretty steep drop to say the least, even though it was, obviously part of that, it was at a very high end. It's still a pretty steep drop. And I just can't imagine that particularly farm state Democrats on the committee are going to vote against a farm bill that shores up our safety net.
Over the many months that the farm bill has been talked about, do you think that the bill is shaping up nicely? Do you think that there are going to be proper safety nets in place for row crop agriculture, dairy and livestock producers? Or are you at this point thinking that the farm bill, as it is anyway, could have done more?
Yeah, we were always confined, of course, to the existing budget. I think we felt pretty fortunate when we dodged the bullet of the early request for a 10% budget cut. We were able to maintain status quo funding, which is no small matter considering that, the current farm bill is saving so much money. The current farm bill is coming out with a pretty nice balance. We'll get to hang on to that balance. So in a low commodity price cycle, to have that kind of savings, I think, is probably good. With regard to the safety net itself, of course, crop insurance being the safety net that everyone has said, please do no harm. Now, every indication is that this farm bill will do no harm, and that, in fact, may even be able to shore some things up. One of the areas that I've worked hard on is to come up with an ARC fix. The PLC has proven to be very beneficial. I met with the Farm Credit Services folks yesterday, other lenders in the last few days that have really appreciated the PLC program. They're seeing farmers, even in this sort of distressed time, with pretty good credit ratings, and they've tightened their belts and are prepared, I think, to have a pretty reasonably decent spring compared to what they were thinking here several months ago. The ARC fix that I proposed, that I think is going to be in the base language of the bill, simply states that wherever RMA data is prevalent, RMA data will be used. And, there are more complicated formulas out there, but this one scores at zero, and I think is the easiest fix that we could get in the bill.
Getting back to what's taken place in the House here recently, the idea of Chairman Conaway doing kind of a standalone to not have the Democrat support on that and getting it to the floor. You talked about an opportunity to maybe get things in a place where they might be better off than they currently are. But what about some casualties of that type of approach where the farm bill could get picked apart a little bit?
Well, personally, if we can't build a winning coalition among conservative Republicans, then it's a folly strategy. If we can, in fact, gain support of conservative Republicans in this approach, then we have some victories. It's not without some risk, and I would certainly hope we wouldn't bring it up for a floor vote without certainty that we'd have the votes to pass the farm bill. I think that while there's posturing that's going on among some in the leadership that, the rank and file Republicans and rank and file Democrats understand the importance of the coalition that passes a farm bill every 5 years, or doesn't in the case of the most recent one time. And so we're all sensitive to that alliance and keeping it all together. My sense is, and I don't think anybody's foolish enough to think that the that a Republican-only farm bill, even if it could pass the House, is what would prevail in the Senate, that when it comes time to reconcile two different bills or for our bill to go over to the Senate, that it certainly would not come back to us in the same form as we sent it over there. At the same time, I think the exercise of looking at the the SNAP program and workforce opportunities at a time when we, frankly, our economy is growing at such a pace that we need more workers. We still have many able-bodied adults, probably around 6 million able-bodied adults who aren't working. The opportunity to present them with the opportunity to get a job or get training for a job as part of a condition of getting some public support makes perfect sense. And whether that comes out in the farm bill or some other workforce bill later, which would be my preference, quite honestly, my preferred approach would have been to take all of the safety net programs and welfare programs, put them into a workforce development package, and have a clean debate on all of those things apart from the farm bill. But that said, if this is the first incremental approach to that, I'm fine doing that. I just don't want to see us do anything that jeopardizes passage of the farm bill.
I do want to also ask you about trade, but anything else on the farm bill before we change topics?
Well, the only thing I would add to the approach that the House is taking, and particularly what I've learned, and I've not seen a preliminary draft of the bill, but I've heard a lot about it. I've been very involved in shaping some of it, as I already talked about the ARC fix that I think I've gotten in the base bill. I've been working on some swamp buster reforms as well. Specifically, I think that we're going to be able to have some language that directs the secretary to come up with a minimal effects standard for a waiver for farmers. We have way too many of these little nuisance wetlands that farmers are forced to not to sort of farm around, and then you end up with a gray spot in your field that doesn't provide any cover or habitat for wildlife or productive land for growing food. In fact, you create a disincentive, with NRCS giving these sort of arbitrary ratings to these wetlands. And so, I'm pretty confident we're going to get a minimal effects piece in the base bill. And I'm also working on some other things related to due process for farmers. Our process now of trying to appeal, if you will, decisions by NRCS is just puts us back into the same cycle over and over and over again, where a farmer goes back to the same people who ruled against them the first time, and they do it again and again. And we're trying to provide some due process with some things like shot clocks, with changing the burden of proof, allowing farmers to go directly to a district court for an appeal rather than having to stay within the same bureaucracy. There just needs to be, I think, some reforms that I don't think will do anything to harm the environmental protections, but do a lot to side with the farmer and the landowner.
Congressman, let's talk a little bit about the proposed tariffs from China, soybeans and pork, also beef and corn among the targets here. What's your message back to those folks in farm country that are really worried about what has transpired?
Well, my first message has been, let's not panic. We're certainly concerned. I'm concerned for them. Markets are emotional, and that's exactly what I told the president last week when I talked to him. I said, these markets are very emotional, and it sparks an emotional response from people when the first volley in a negotiation, causes a collapse. It has real life ramifications, even if it's not a real life tariff yet. They're proposed tariffs. There's quite a timeline, as you know, before proposed tariffs become actual tariffs. There's a comment period, and then there's several months before they kick in. So I just tell people to not be prone to panic, to watch and carefully watch, and certainly advocate for your position as I do. I would like to see the president take a more measured approach to some of this, but include more of our allies. I expect that's what's going to be coming after he does what he usually does, and that is draws a line in the sand and assumes a position of strength as he sees it in the negotiating process. But I remind our growers that China has not been kind to us. China has not been kind to lots of industries, including agriculture in many areas. They had this bogus avian influenza ban on our poultry, which they're the only country in the world that has that. They've manipulated the protocols for rice, and so American rice isn't welcome in China. You have on the biotech side, certain strains and certain traits in soybeans that they haven't been accepting, and all of that is because they're a state-run economy, that the companies and the purchasers and as well as the producers, if you will, of everything in China is in fact the government, and that makes it very difficult to have a negotiation for a free trade when you have a free market economy debating against a state-run economy like China has. But that said, the long game is what this is about. Our president has inherited in China, as he has in many other situations, a can that is at the end of the road. It's been kicked by several Republican and Democratic administrations over the years. And he needs to try and correct that before China accomplishes its Made in China 2025 initiative, where they own everything. And so at the same time, I'm trying to assure them, as I've had good discussions with people in the administration, that the president does not intend to leave farmers hanging or hurt, that he's going to look for ways to smooth the rough road if there's a short-term rough road here. But we're going to hold them to that as well, that I'll be their advocate as I talk to the White House.
Well, let's end on what might very well be a positive note. Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau recently said that they've made a lot of progress on the NAFTA front and maybe are starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel there. What's your take on developments regarding NAFTA, and if renegotiated NAFTA might actually be better for United farmers in the U.S.?
Well, if a renegotiated NAFTA isn't better, then it wasn't a very good deal, a very good negotiation process, but I anticipate it will be. As we know, there's been a lot of angst, a lot of anxiety about the NAFTA renegotiation. Of course, everybody wanted to see it renegotiated until it started happening. Then we started worrying about the uncertainties of it all. But as it relates especially to dairy, obviously, as we know, I was very pleased that our U.S. Trade Representative was able to, and Commerce Secretary able to come to some conclusions prior to NAFTA renegotiation with regard to Mexico's dumping of sugar. That was a very important part of the negotiation. Up here in North Dakota, as you know, we've had a terrible problem. Our durum farmers and selling into Canada because they use some manipulation on their rating system for grain, where we have, food level ratings for the same grain as they determined to be livestock feed. So we need to fix some of those things. And I think at the end of it, we are going to see something good come out of it. I was very encouraged to hear what Prime Minister Trudeau was saying in terms of the optimism, the same with Mexico. The irony, of course, and I have to chuckle when I think about it, is now it's our president who's saying, well, let's not go too fast. We want to make sure it's right, not that we have this artificial deadline of a summit of the Americas. And so it's interesting to watch all the, juxtaposition, if you will, of the various players in it. But there's no question there's a lot of optimism right now, and cautious as it might be, at least we feel like we're going in the right direction.